word, shall we?
The wind of your spirit, now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rain of your love, we feel the wind of your spirit, now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. Let it rain, let it rain.
Recharge night, Wednesday night, middle of the week. God, we come to your house, Lord, just to fill up. And so, Lord, as we worship you in spirit and truth, God, I just pray your Holy Spirit would fall upon us, oh God. Lord, help us just to surrender to you. Thank you. song, huh? Marina does a good job. Gonna make a wish this Christmas. I'm gonna say a little prayer. I'm gonna stop here for a moment. For the moment disappears. The world's in a hurry this December. City streets. Shopping mall. I wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart, the heart of Christmas. Live while you can. Cherish the moments, the ones that you love. Make sure that they know it. Don't miss it. The heart of find the wonder of a child. You can see the magic all around you. Come on and open up your eyes. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart. Sure that they know it. Don't miss it. The heart of Christmas. In the shadow of a steeple, in a star that lights the way, you will find. Gonna make a wish this Christmas. Gonna say a little prayer. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart. The heart of Christmas. Live while you can. Cherish the moment, the ones that you love. Make sure that they know. I feel your grace It's telling me you're healing me, restoring my soul. Oh, Lamb of God, you are my life. Take me in your loving arms, my Lamb of God. I worship you, surrender all. God, we worship you. God, we surrender to you, and we just ask, God, that you would just take us in your loving arms. Help us to understand, God, we need you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's flowing right now through us, through this place, God. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
So it's true, we don't laugh enough, do we? And we need more laughter, less seriousness. If you come to that video, you'll catch interesting hints about the differences between men and women. And you don't want to take too much of that stuff too literal, because you never know. Because men, you know, we're in our nothing box, but we're not always in our nothing box, are we? That's just where we want to be most of the time. All right, so last week we finished up the last of 1 Corinthians, if you were here, and I made a statement about praying about where God wants us to go, because we are a fellowship that we go together, right? God is leading us, we go together, we want to hear His voice, and we want to move as a group of people, because we just went through 1 Corinthians that taught us that the body's a unit. We all have a push. We all have part of the body. We all are part of the body. And if you're not here, we're missing you. There's something missing in the body. So, you know, a lot of people have different reasons or different things of why they come to church, or what are they doing in a church? What are they doing in this church? What are you doing in this church? You know, I know there's some visitors. I'm not talking to you. You're here because God told you to come this morning, and we're thankful to have you. But the thing is for a body of believers, when God has us come to a place, it is not by chance, right? He has opened that door for you to enter into a fellowship of other believers, and that you get to be part of a bigger picture. Because guess what? God uses all of us in different ways. And so when we all do our part, the body moves together as a unit. And so remember the word says that the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, right? Certainly does need you. And so when you're missing, if you're not here, we're missing a part of the body. And there's some things that you have that I don't have. There's some things that I have that you don't have. And we all are part of that. And so as we come together, we hear the Lord, and we grow together, and we move together as a unit. And so my question last week at the end of 1 Corinthians is to go home and to pray about where God wanted us to go. And so as you were praying, God was speaking to most all of us about, you know, direction. And so I did. I went home and seriously prayed about it. And I got confirmation like three different times about just moving right on to 2 Corinthians. Just keep going. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue on going. And the reason why is that I opened up the scriptures and I got into 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And you don't have to go there. Don't go there. We're going to get there. Okay? We're going to move toward that. But that was really the confirmation verse that told us where we were going and why. And we'll get to that as we go down the road. But today, I want to share. I actually talked to some of you guys, different ones of you, about this journey we're on together as a body. And really what God wants us to see. In fact, last week what we learned was the lesson for us all in 1 Corinthians was unity and love in the church is most important. Remember that? Unity and love in the church as a body, as a whole, is most important. And if we don't have love for one another, then we're just a group of people who are doing cool stuff, but we're missing something. That unity of moving together. Unity doesn't mean conformity. We don't have to like everything. But we can move together with, you know, love and respect for one another, even if we don't like something. You know, we're okay with that. We don't have to like it. But lots of things in Scripture people didn't like to do, but they did. I mean, I think about, Peter when he got called off the boat and he thought this was all going to be great, peaches and cream, going to follow the leader. He's our God. Good, I get that. I'm going to follow him. And he went through a lot, didn't he? And then he learned an important lesson that flesh and blood is a tough deal to handle. We live in this world and we have tribulation. And in this world, we will have tribulation. But greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world, right? And so we need to capture that. So we need to ratchet back to the beginning. I mean, when we look at Jesus and we think about why he came and what he did for us, and we find out the reality of life itself, is that we get that picture that Jesus died for our sins because we fall short and we needed a Savior. Otherwise, what was the purpose of him coming? Why did he come? And so here we are in the middle of Christmas, and the whole world is celebrating holiday, and they miss the most important thing, is a relationship with our God, our King, our Savior. And so this reality of Jesus in our life, we got to take it back to the simplicity of the gospel message of Jesus. And we can get caught up in doing all kinds of good things, but if we miss out on that, we've missed it all. And so we have all these worries of the world, the troubles of the world, the situations of life, and God's in the middle of it all. Sometimes we pray, Lord, where are you? How could you let this happen to me? I'm a good guy. And it is for our good that he takes us through trials and difficulty is for us to grow up and be mature believers and to come back to the reality of who Jesus is and why he came and the picture of what he created us for. Why did God create mankind? Anybody know? To have fellowship with him, right? Because to have a relationship with us, to have a personal relationship with us. Right, so when was the last time you sat down and hung out with Jesus? Right, and we have to ask ourselves that question. You know, what are you shooting for? What's your goal in life? What's your purpose in life? Get bigger stuff, more stuff, faster cars, more toys, bigger family maybe. Well, that might be. I'd like to have a great big family. Yeah, that's right. Good answer. That's right. We have a big family. We're all right here. And then remember what Jesus said? He said, who is my brother and my mother? Remember they said, your brother and your mom's here. And he goes, who is my brother and who is my mother? Those who do the will of the Father. Right? So we are the family of God. That's a cool statement. True. We are a big family, and we're working together for the goal to go forward. So the lesson is to have unity and love in the church, and it's a very, very important. Today we're going to kick it off in 2 Corinthians, and the title of this message today is Our Comfort is Abundant Through Christ. Our comfort is abundant through Christ. How many of you guys need comfort? I mean, I believe that a lot of us believers today refuse God's comfort. We absolutely refuse because we have a whole different mindset of what comfort looks like. What makes us happy? If only I had this, or if only this would happen, I would be more comfortable. I would feel better. If only I didn't have this problem with so-and-so, my life would be better. If only I had more money, if only I win the lottery, my life would be better. Maybe we should have a conversation with those who've won that lottery and see how wonderful their life is. In fact, the statistic is, if you look at those who have won the lottery, you'll find out their life turns out to be miserable. Lots of stuff. Those who whom God has given, much is required. So I have found out simple is better. Less is better. And then also the Bible talks about the borrower becoming lender's slave. If you're caught up in a lot of things of the world and you're caught, if your focus is out there, then and you're in debt and you have all kinds of things going on in your life, that owns you, right? You can't just stop and be a servant to the Lord because you have all these obligations. So you want to be careful not to be so far out there that you're so tied up in stuff of the world, circumstances of life, that you can't stop and do what God's called you to do, whatever that may be. And there are many things. So we have to come back to the simplicity of Christ. I believe this is the whole message for 2 Corinthians, is for us to understand who Christ is in our life and the simplicity of our relationship together. And we can't complicate it, because when we complicate it, it gets out of order. And like I said, this Christmas season, we come into Christmas, and I don't know about you guys, but this commercial Christmas just bugs me. You know, it just does. Everybody's kind of missed the truth of what Christmas is, and it's gotten, I mean, how many of you guys get into financial difficulty during Christmas because you feel like you're obligated to buy gifts for people at this time of year? Nowhere in Scripture did it talk about you having to go in debt to buy somebody a gift. Right? The most precious gift you can give is you. It's your time with somebody else. And if you have that, if you have relationship, then you have a lot. You know, just forget the gift thing. You know, that's just a big ploy of getting everybody into this, what does Christmas really look like? And it has nothing to do with who can get the best gift. In fact, I have a hard time with Christmas this year. I'm going to have a good one. I promise. I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to be a bah humbugger. You believe that when you see it, right? I know that Chad, he put up his lights, you know, and he's up there putting them on. He's stapling them on there, and Amanda is down. I don't know where they are today. But Amanda's down there watching him putting them all up, and I can just tell he's not having fun. Amanda's going, yay, Christmas. How many girls love Christmas? Guys, do you just love it too? I think it's great. I love Christmas too. And if it's the right kind of Christmas, if it's Jesus is the reason for the season. The reason why Jesus came was to die. He came so that he could die. So why? So that we could live. And so you get to the next part of the story is you find out that there's a whole lot more to this story than just the birth of Jesus, and which is a great thing. And I'm glad he was born, because if he wasn't born, we wouldn't have what we have. And certainly the next step is if he didn't die, we wouldn't have what we have. And so now you bring it back to the reality of you in your life, and what are you about? Why are you here? And that's what Paul's going to take us to. So let's kick it off in verse 1. chapter 1. Paul, apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice how Paul brings things to light in the beginning of his passages of Scripture. When he's sharing something, the most important thing he puts out there right after his opening statements is grace and peace. Grace and peace. Man, if we can capture the grace and peace of life because it is ours, what an amazing thing. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God of all comfort. You know, I know that little three-letter word, sometimes we don't get it. But what does all mean? All. It means the same thing in the Greek. All. So blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we bring it back to Jesus Christ. As God sent His Son, the one and only Son, for one reason. That's to redeem us back to Himself. The Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. Does He comfort us in some of our afflictions? All of them. So now we got to take it back to, why is it that sometimes we don't feel comforted in the middle of our afflictions? Anybody thought about that? Why is it when I'm really afflicted, I don't feel comforted? In fact, I feel a little bummed out. Yeah. You have to take that relationship and touch on that. You have to go to that place of bringing Him into the situation, right? Which means relationship. It means calling on His name, and He will come. Ask, it will be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. But it's up to you. We all were given a will to choose. So when you say, God, I need you in the middle of my circumstance, that means that there's something that has to take place in that. You have to invite Him, and then you have to be willing to be comforted. And I know this from, and I can testify to it, that I didn't realize what God's comfort really felt like until I allowed it to happen. And I didn't know in the midst of my trial that I was withholding comfort from God. My thing was is that I didn't have an understanding of how to cultivate that relationship. Nobody ever taught me. Nobody ever showed me how to come under God's comfort, right? To let Him come into the situation and comfort you. So we refuse God's comfort because of pride, because sin. There's all kinds of reasons why we step into that place to where we're not comforted by God, because He can only comfort you when you allow yourself to be comforted. And that means you have to let go of the things that would hold you captive and allow Him to come in. And so then when you come to an area of repentance means to change. So you can't keep doing the same thing and expect God's comfort. Right? He's not going to comfort you if you want to hold on to that thing that's causing you difficulty. The reality is that we don't know that it's causing us difficulty because we feel like the thing that we're doing is the thing that's comforting us. And it does for a season, or for a short time. And then reality kind of sets in, and then there's consequences for what we think is comfort. Right? And so therefore, you get caught up in drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, on and on and on and on. Right? Because it's comfort for a season. And so we allow ourselves to be comforted by a false comfort when we know that if we hear the voice of God, allow Him in to heal us, then He comes in and shows us truth, and truth sets us free. And therefore, we walk in a comfort. We walk in comfort because He's the one leading us and we're not leading ourselves. And so Paul's going to get to that place of understanding where he says, Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, this takes us to a whole nother level. When God allows us to be afflicted, do you think he does it just to be hurting you? No. Here's what you'll find out, and most of you concur with this whenever I tell you, that when you have gone through a situation and you have gone through it, it's been tough, and you've come out the other side of it, right, and you've been healed, the one thing God always does is he uses you to help somebody else in that same situation later. Because you've been there, you've done that, you've seen it. And so you give wise counsel and comfort to the ones that are going through it. Why? Because God brought you through your difficulty and you got through it. And so you can say, hey, this too shall pass. You will get through this if you allow God to come in and be your leader and to be your head and let go of all that stuff. Allow him to comfort you and you can come out the other side. So as difficult as it may be, the truth is you will get through it if you let God come into it. Allow him to comfort you. And then so you can be a comfort to others. And so Paul's saying, you've gone through difficulties, right? Now you can be one who can go through difficulties with others and show them how to get through it because you went through it. And so for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Now, you might look at that and go, well, that's weird. I don't get that. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. So that's what he's saying. Look, Jesus, he was uncomfortable and went through probably more than any of us will ever. Same with Paul, most of the apostles. We probably won't any of us ever go through what they went through. But they went through it. Why? For you and me. We're sitting here today, and we've got this gospel message and we have this understanding because they went through difficult times for us. Same is true for you and me. You're going to go through difficult times in your life. But if it's gone through and you do it right, right, it will be passed down to the generations to come after you and you will be an example for them if you do it right. Now, I don't know about you, but I can look at the gospel messages and I can look at Paul's writing and I get it. I mean, I'm learning. Don't get it all, but I'm learning. And you are too. But we're learning and we're seeing as we're growing together the understanding of the Father's love for us and why he allows certain circumstances to happen and you're in my life. And sometimes people don't get it. They'll go through a whole sorry, a miserable situation and do nothing but be miserable and blame and be hurt and wounded and never come out of it. It's true. But then there are those that go through things and you got two choices. You're either going to get bitter, I mean really bitter, or you're going to get better. And you're not going to blame other people for your circumstances. Knowing this, all the stuff that you've gone through, somebody else has gone through it before you, and maybe even worse. So count your blessings one by one. There's this guy, what's his name? He was born with his cerebral palsy, and what a guy who loves the Lord. But he's physically handicapped, and he can't speak very well. So he has a speech impediment because of the way he was born. Cerebral palsy, he was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, choked off his air to his brain, and so he didn't have much oxygen. And so when he was born with a severe handicap. But he has not allowed that to bother him. The guy is an amazing preacher. And one of his messages, I wish I remember his name. Can you remember his name? Anyway, because I'd have you get online and watch it. But the message was, count your blessings one by one. And man, it's true. the little blessings that you get are amazing when you look at the big picture. Little blessings are amazing. My mom is so good at looking at little blessings. Most of you guys know my story. We didn't have much money when we were growing up. In fact, we were pretty poor. We never went hungry, but we were poor. We didn't have what everybody else had in means of extras. But my mom would pray in the most simplest things. I mean, just simple, simple stuff. And she would be blessed by the little things of life. I mean, I can remember all of us kids, we went through our whole lives and never had an insurance package. Never had anything to, you know, in case we broke our arm, you know, we could go get it fixed and financially be okay. None of us ever broke a thing. All of us kids went through our whole life, never broke one bone. That's God. Right? That's a miracle of life. God knew, you know, what we needed, and He provided. Simple things. Count your blessings. And the difficulties you do go through, they're probably not as difficult as you might think. You know, you might think they're really difficult at the time, but if you look at it as a lesson to be learned, that God's teaching you something in it. Sometimes I'll just pray, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? Because I want to learn it quick, because I don't want to go through it very long. Been there, done that? So, but if we are afflicted, it is for comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. So we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our afflictions which come to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. How many of you feel like you've been burdened excessively beyond your strength? Man, I've been there. Where I've just right at your bottom, Lord, I can't take this no more. So that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. I mean, that's where God wants us. He wants us to trust Him even in the worst circumstances, knowing that, guess what? We might die. Is that a bad thing? Well, the Bible says, what happens to a believer when they die? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm thinking that's not such a bad thing. Right? We hang on to this precious thing we call life, and it's just inbred into us. But the reality is, when it's our day, it's our day. There's nothing we can do about it. God knows the day we were born. He knows the day we're going to die. He's in the beginning and He's in the end. And we need to allow Him to be in all that. You know, and Paul was talking about, later on we'll find out that he longed for his time to be gone from here. You know, because this was a very hard place to be in. And you guys can concur with that. It's not easy to live this life in this world. Because guess who's in control of the world? Right? But there's difficulty in it. And we need to know that in the difficulties we will get through it. So verse 9 says, indeed we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. Amen. You also joining in helping us through your prayers. How many of you guys know how important prayer is? Della's starting a prayer group at her house, and we've been really pushing the idea and understanding of how important prayer is. If we don't pray, we are definitely putting ourselves in a position to be overcome, because there's power in prayer, right? I think things change when we pray. You guys believe that? Now, as a body of believers, if all of us are praying for the same thing, can you imagine how powerful that is? I mean, I can think of when we gather up front and somebody has a problem and we pray over that somebody, and they go to the doctor and they come back with a report that's an amazing report. I'm a firm believer that it's because we prayed. I just do. I believe that. I believe in the power of prayer. And so here's the thing. When we talk about being comforted, right, and we talk about believing God unto death, knowing that he's God, and he's going to do what he's going to do, and then he's saying the importance of talking about the importance of prayer. Now, if you have an affliction, right, Paul's talking about afflictions here. If you have one, what would keep you from coming up and saying, hey, I got this thing going on and I need prayer. How about you guys? Can you guys join me and pray with me? What keeps us from doing that? Pride. Don't need anybody. I don't want to tell anybody my problems. Everybody has problems, and I really don't think they want to hear mine. Well, that's not true, right? We need to hear each other's problems, and we need to join together in prayer. I remember Mikey when she went in for her heart thing, right? We prayed, and she was delivered that and has done wonderfully. I can remember all kinds of different ones of you guys have gone through circumstances. Mabel, remember when you came up that day? We all prayed for you. Good outcome. Power in prayer. If you have an affliction, if you've got something going on in your life, man, prayer works. Trust me. And you won't never know that until you give it a try. So you also joining and helping us through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of what? Many. The more prayers, the better. For our proud confidence in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially toward you. So, not in fleshly wisdom. I think that was a great statement. Because in the flesh, you know what? We're not going to accomplish a whole lot. I mean, I remember having my own business, right? And I remember thinking, if I work hard enough and long enough, I can make this thing work. And I left God out of the picture. And so I found myself working 7 days a week, daylight till after dark, sleeping on the job, trying to make this thing successful. And Joey used to tell me, Dave, why don't you just stay home and pray? I'd go, well, that's an odd thought. How am I going to get this thing done if I stay home and pray? So I remember one day she talked me into it. I was just so overwhelmed with everything. Everything was going haywire. And I said, okay. I don't care. I'm just going to stay home and I'm going to pray. So I took the day and I went alone and I was with God and I prayed. And I said, God, I don't know why all this stuff is happening. Everything that can happen is happening and it's just killing me. I can't keep up. I can't fix this. Right? So I'm whining. And I'm on my face before God and telling him all my woes about the business thing and everything. The harder I work, the more they take, you know, if you've been there. And so I spent the whole day and prayed, and I asked God to help. And man, I'll tell you what, I got a whole different perspective of what it was all about. God got my attention. And guess what? He loves you enough to get your attention. And don't think he won't use circumstances to do it, because he will. And so a lot of times we're going through circumstances and we're blaming it on everything. You know, we're saying, oh, the enemy is such a pig. He's destroying everything that I do. You know, you ever stop to think maybe God loves you enough to get you to look to him for help? If you don't believe that, you can read scripture from cover to cover. It's all there, right? And he loves you enough to put you through difficult times. So that why? You'll look to him for his comfort and for His direction. And until you allow Him to give you that, you're going to go around the mountain. And trust me, I stand up here preaching to you, I've beat a hole in my mountain, so I know it's true. You know, I've got a path in that thing. You know, and I still haven't got it figured out. I'm still trying to figure this thing out. So this isn't just an easy task. Because why? We have the old man, the old fleshly nature, that's got the I've got this thing. I can do this. But God wants to break us. He wants to allow us to die to ourself enough to let Him come in and be God of our life. And so I finally, back to that story of my business, I finally got to the place to where I said, look, I'm just going to give it to you. However, whatever it works, I'm going to just let you do it. You're going to take control. But what I realized in all of that big rigmarole was that I had this major thing going on in me, and that it was a fear of failure. I was afraid to fail. And I wasn't going to allow it to fail, no matter what. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You'll work yourself completely to death just to prove that you can do this, no matter what. And what I found out later was God wanted me to admit that the fact that I had a problem. And the problem was I had a fear of failure. And He was going, dude, who cares? What importance is that? You can have all that you want to, and it isn't going to matter. Nothing. In fact, Scripture tells us story after story about that. But I even read it. Going, oh, the dummy. What was he thinking? Then I realized I was doing the same thing. I mean, really, look at Israel. Look at their story. They failed and failed and failed. They walk away from God, doing their own thing, going to different gods, doing that, and God would say, take His hand off of them. They'd go into captivity. They would become slaves. And finally they'd go, oh, God, we failed. We know. Please forgive us. And God would say, okay, I forgive you. And He'd bring them back out of captivity and teach them how to follow after Him again. And they would go right back to it. And I would read those stories. And I'd go, them dumb Jews. God said, hey, yeah, they're so dumb, huh? You ever checked out your own life? Yeah, we do the same thing. It's easy to point the finger, but when you start looking at your own life, you start finding, you know what? I got the same problem. And that's when maturity starts to happen, is when you can step up and say, hey, it was me. Remember when David did his thing and Nathan came to him and he said, you're the one that is that guy that took that lamb and slaughtered it. And when you had the big farm, remember the whole story? He went and took Bathsheba and killed her husband just so that he could have her. And the prophet comes to him and tells him this story about this rich man that took the little lamb from the poor man. Yeah. And then he said, you're that guy. And what was the lesson learned for all of us? Is that, why was David a man after God's heart? Why? But he took responsibility and said, forgive me, Father, you're right. I am. Show me the way. Until we get to that place in our life, we're going to go around again. And God's going to allow circumstances in our lives to happen so that we get it. Why? Because He loves us. And Paul teaches us, he's teaching us this and showing us the circumstances and what's the most important thing to do? Man, we need to get real and start to pray about the afflictions that are upon us. Because prayer changes things. And it mostly changes our perspective of it. And reality of what we do in the midst of and what we respond to. Instead of reacting to it, we respond and we'll say, okay, what is my part in this? And how do I respond to it? And so, 13. For we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand. And I hope you will understand until the end, just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. In this confidence, I intended at first to come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing. And so he considers himself a blessing to come to him once, but he wants to come to him again so he can bless them. Now, isn't that cool? That he wants to bless the people of God by giving them understanding of the word and teaching them what prayer is, what difficulties are, and when you go through difficulties, that these things are a good thing because we learn how to grow and to be better. How about you? Are you good with that? Are you good with the difficulties in your life? I mean, are you okay with that? That God brings difficulty in your life so that you will grow? That's tough, isn't it? God, I just want peace. Just give me peace. I'd rather have peace and comfort and joy, blessings, instead of difficulties, hard times, hardships. But where did you learn your best lessons? Always. You did. You know, if you had money just poured out on you all the time and you just had everything you wanted, I mean, I've seen kids like that. I went to school with a couple of them. They turned out pretty bad, right? Because there was no consequences for their actions. And when they got away from that, all those blessings that were poured on them, they found themselves in prison, both of them. One of them killed a police officer. The other one got caught for stealing cocaine out of the hospital. Two buddies of mine. I didn't have what they had. I liked hanging out with them because they did have it. So we took the Continental out and rolled the hubcaps off on corners. That was fun. Wonder we didn't kill ourselves. But in the midst of that, me not having anything was good for me. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those blessings because I look back on it now and I think of those things that could have happened to me that didn't happen to me. How about you? You know, God spared you through all kinds of things. If you only knew. I bet when we get to heaven and God rewinds, let us take a look, I bet our angels wore clear out from trying to stop us from doing things. We'll get to heaven and you'll wonder what that angel, who's that guy? I'll beat up. That's your angel. So in this confidence, I intended at first to come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing. That is to pass your way into Macedonia and again from Macedonia to come to you and by you to be helped on my journey to Judah. Therefore, you can tell when you're getting old when you start talking to yourself. I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or that I purpose according to the flesh so that when that with me there will be yes, yes, and no, no at the same time. So he's not vacillating back and forth. He was saying he wanted to go there, right? So his yes was yes, but circumstances happened and he couldn't do it. So basically that's what he was saying with a lot of words. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no, or the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preaching among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Don't you like that? That, you know, everything in Jesus that he accomplished through the circumstances of all this stuff was a yes and an amen for you and me. I look at that and I'm thinking, you know what? There is so much more to this than we can comprehend. That through all of the sufferings of Christ and what he did on the cross for us was an overwhelming yes, I would do it again in a second. How about you? I mean, you thought about the sufferings that you've gone through as a believer and what you've learned through it. Would you just say yes and amen and do it again? If you had to do it again, would you do it different? Just accepting Christ into your life as your personal Savior. Number one, beginning of life. Born again experience If you have not experienced that, if you haven't gone over that bridge and said to Jesus, yes, I am yours, whatever it takes, however, whatever happens, I'm yes to you. Lord, I'm with you. Whatever circumstance you put me through, I am yours and you are mine. And I wouldn't change it now or then. Even though the difficulties I've gone through it, I wouldn't change it a bit. It was a yes and amen, and it always will be. How about you? Is your walk with Christ in that kind of a manner? No matter what happens, even in the future, because we don't know the future. If you were to have to die on the cross for your faith, would it still be a yes? I'm glad I'm a Christian. I mean, have you ever been persecuted yet for your faith? Anybody? We have not been tested at all in our faith. I mean, the ones that are tested in their faith, it doesn't take you long to find out who you really are. You know, if you want to test yourself there, go with Dan. He'll take you on a journey. Because he's an evangelist. He goes out on the street right here in Eugene, and he witnesses Jesus to people all over the place. And he just walks around and does it. And about maybe one or two out of the whole group of people he talks to is receptive to him. Mostly it's not. But he goes and does it anyway. I mean, we're all called to evangelize. We're all called to go out there and share Jesus, aren't we? That's a mandate. That was the call, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and preach the gospel to all the world, the gospel message. What's the gospel message? Jesus died on the cross for your and my sins. Accept him and believe, and you'll be saved. That's the gospel message. And we're supposed to share that to the world. And let me tell you, the world don't want to hear it. Mostly. There are a few. But we're supposed to do that. And if they spit on you, or if they do whatever, are you willing to take it? I am. Actually, I've had all kinds of things happen. And it really isn't bad. It's just rejection is hard. You know what I mean? But it's just hard to be rejected for your faith. But the Bible says, you count that all joy. Because you're suffering in the same sufferings that the ones that went on before you have suffered. And it's for good. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, but I call God as witness to my soul that to spare you I did not come again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for your joy. For in your faith, you are standing firm. In your faith, you are standing firm. So how is your faith? The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith is hoping for something that you haven't seen yet. Knowing that what Jesus said will happen. I mean, in the last days, the Bible says that people will say, we will be saying, oh yeah, well, where is this coming of God? Thousands of years, you Christians have been saying the same thing and haven't seen him yet. All this time, 2,000 plus years later, and everywhere I read is, God is coming soon. But he hasn't come yet. Has anybody heard that? Well, let me tell you, the only stinking reason why he hasn't is because he wants more people to understand the truth. That's the only reason. Because I guarantee you, he just can't wait for this to come to an end. But he loves us enough to bring us to maturity so that we will be in the right place when it does happen. And that when persecution does come our way, we'll stand firm in our faith to the death, to the very end, and we'll stand strong. Amen? That's the reality of where we're supposed to be. And we're all growing to that goal. We're getting to that place where we're strong enough in our faith to whatever happens, whatever storm comes our way, whatever difficulty comes our way, whatever famine comes our way, whatever earthquake wipes out everything we own, whatever, we're going to stand on the truth of Jesus Christ, that He is with us. And if He is for us, who can be against us? In any circumstance, in any place. And our joy may be made full, and our comfort in Christ is full. And He will comfort you wherever you are. And so this morning, I want to bring it back to that part I was getting to, was that if you guys had an affliction, if any of you had something that you needed prayer for, what keeps you from asking for it? Whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. Is it your finances? Is it your family circumstance? Is it a health issue? Is it just life itself? Is it heaviness? Are you just feeling distance from God and your relationship with Him? Whatever difficulty it is that you have, what keeps you from going and being comforted by God? What holds you back? So I want to give you opportunity this morning. Prayer team, if you'd come up. Those of you on the prayer team, the list, this week's list, you guys know who you are. Come on up here. And here's what I want for you guys to do, is if you need something to be prayed for, doesn't matter what it is, and you're asking God for something, I want you to partner with us so that we can pray for you. Not that we would have a gossip session or talk about anything, because the most important thing about us believers is this, is that when we pray together, we take it to the Lord, and that's where it goes. This isn't about whatever. It's just between you and the Lord. And you need an ear sometimes to take it to. And we want to do that. And we want to say this is the safe place. As a body of believers, if we cannot at least have this understanding that we can come and pray about anything, then we need to regroup, right? So we need to be able to first, number one, is know that your prayer is going to be safe and that it's going to be real, and that we will pray, and we'll pray together. And God will change things as we allow Him to comfort us. Amen? So if you want to find some music, Wes? Bet he does. If he can use Paul, he can use any of us.
I just watched a video last night of Heidi Baker. Maybe you heard of her. She and her husband go around doing crusades and healing people. She has people doing God does to her. The statement she made is that children don't know that God can't do miracles until they're taught that by adults. You know, we are the ones who say, oh, God's not going to heal. We can't do that. He can't. Yeah. We don't believe it. We're too sophisticated.
Yeah.
She was getting people to hear. She was getting them to walk. She was healing backs. Because the kids were up there praying for these people.
Faith.
Somewhere in our culture, we have gotten to this point where God doesn't have power anymore. We have the power. And that's not right. God has the power. All we have to do is accept
it. Yeah. Believe it. Music. Let's pray. You guys come up. We'll pray for you. Thank you.
intimate songs, sweet tender words, flowing between heaven and earth. You whisper to me and I sing you a song. As you play the music, I'm carried along. I am in awe, I am in love. Breathing you in, I can't get enough. Over and over, you're touching my heart. As I'm captivated by all that you are. Can we stay right here in this holy place, where you feel so near? I can touch your face. Can the time stand still? Do I dare can the world move on and this moment last? Can we stay you right here? Stay you right here. Here in your arms, silence conveys what my words can't express. I am amazed at the wonder of you. To soak in your presence is all I can do. Can we stay right here in this holy place, where you feel so near? I can touch the time stand still. Do I dare to ask? Can the world move on and this moment last? Can we stay right here? Stay.